because I'm just kind of focused on what I got to do, and I'm always really nervous. And then I was standing on the front row, and I'm kind of a bit nervous about speaking. Then Joe opens the Bible and starts talking from 2 Corinthians 3, which is exactly where I'm preaching from tonight, just after where you left off, which is 2 Corinthians 4. So I haven't lost the ability to count in my time away, but it's all good. Tonight I want to talk to you about how we can really be an influence in our world without really doing a whole lot. You know, I really believe that tonight God's going to stir our hearts for the lost and for your friends. And at the start of the year, I suppose it's a month in now, but as everything starts to get moving again, as school goes back, uni goes back, if you work, you should have already been back at work. But as the year gets going, I believe that it's a great time really to set our hearts alight for the things of God. And tonight I really believe He wants to speak to us. And as I was praying for this service this afternoon, I really felt like there will be a great sort of time of ministry a bit later. And I'm really looking forward to that. So I just want to pray before I start for open hearts. And if you would like to close your eyes with me as I pray, Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you so much for being here and being present and being real. And Jesus, I thank you when you died on the cross and when you went to heaven, you didn't leave us on this earth alone, that you left us with your Holy Spirit. And I just pray tonight you would speak to us. I pray tonight you would move us. I pray tonight you would take us to a new place of intimacy with you, Lord. If you want that, why don't you say amen? Can I actually get the lights turned off, please, Brian? Yeah, all of them. No, just the house lights, if that's what they're called. Yeah, sweet. It feels like night church now. Is that okay? Is that all right if I do that? I just feel like I should, okay? Take notes in your mind if you can't read your paper, but it's all good. I'm going to get going. If you are taking notes, this message is called a saving reflection. Everyone say with me, a saving. Oh, gee, I'll try again with everyone. Everyone say with me, a saving reflection. That is so much better. It makes me feel so good. You see, as Christians, the question I want to ask you right from the very start is when people look at you, what do they see? When people from the world, when people from your school, when people from your workplace who don't know Christ, when they look at you and when they look at your life, when they look at all that you represent, what is it that they see? Do they see maybe a reflection of themselves? Or perhaps tonight I want to challenge us, do they see a reflection of Christ? As Joe got up and shared right from the start, we're called to sort of constantly be transformed into His image by the Spirit of God. And tonight, I believe that the reflection that we show this world will have such an impact on this world. When we truly reflect and represent Jesus Christ with our lives, just watch how easy things are for us in ministry with witnessing to our friends and our families. When our lives represent something that resembles what Christ is, just watch how this world changes. And I want to look at the lost from the perspective of the lost. I want to look at God sort of from the view that non-Christians look at God, you know, because God looks very different from where you stand. If you're a Christian, God looks very different to you than what He does to someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes as Christians, I know I definitely forget that. You know, I kind of expect that the lost see God the same way I do, but it's so, so different. And I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey through the Bible tonight and just see maybe a glimpse of how the lost view this God that we love and that we serve and that we want them to come into contact with. Is it possible that we could reflect such an image that would make a difference in someone's life? Is it possible that just the reflection and just the representation of our lives, is it possible that could impact someone's life? The word reflect by definition means to embody or represent, to show an image of and bring about a good or bad impression. And as Christians, that's what we're here to do. We're here as representatives of Christ on this earth. And the word reflect means to represent, which means that we can show a good or a bad impression. So if you walk by the label of a Christian, there's a responsibility on you to show a good representation of Jesus Christ. Because when people look at you and they say Christian, that's the image that they see of God. And so we've got this charge, to a call on our lives to show a good impression of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says we can reflect. We can either reflect a good image, or we can We can reflect a negative image of God. And I want to look at that tonight. I think that our reflection and the image that we show can be one of the most powerful things that we can give and show and shine to other people. You know, my whole Christian walk, I've kind of thought, you know, it's all about God and it's all about Him and Him moving and doing this and doing that. It's all about God. It's all about you. But lately I've kind of been thinking that it's just as much about me as it is about God. I think I have just as much part to play in my life that God does. I have the responsibility on myself to have just a greater part. Let me explain. There's a lady in Africa called Heidi Baker. She's a missionary. And she runs an orphanage. Well, she doesn't run one. She runs heaps. And she feeds hungry kids. And she sees healings every day. She sees salvation every day. And I heard a message of her talking about how she knows love and she knows glory. How she's seen a whole hospital cleared out of every single sickness, every disease just cleared out, everyone healed. And then the next day, a baby with AIDS to die in her arms. And she's saying, I know all about glory, but I know all about suffering. And this missionary lady is so incredible, right? But you see, it's all about God, but it's so much about us. Because this lady every day stands with orphans and young children in her arms and whispers the gospel to them and sees them come to know God. But you see, it's God that saves them, but it's a loving woman that holds them in her arms. It's God that breathes life, and it's a spirit that comes alive in this young person, but it's a lady that holds them and whispers that news to her. You see, it's so much about God. It is all about God, but it's so much also about us. And tonight, I need to show you how important your role is in showing a fallen world a risen Savior. Is that all right? So to look at God through the perspective of the lost, to look at God through the eyes of someone that doesn't know Him, the Bible says this of the lost in 2 Corinthians 4, 3, verse 4. And this is my first point tonight, that the eyes of the world are blind. The Bible says this: but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled only to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, those who do not believe, lest the light of Christ shine on them. Christ, who is the image of God, would shine on them. Just go back to verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled only to those who are perishing. See, the eyes of our world are actually blind to the things of God. We live in a world, and that's what we can forget as Christians. And I was thinking about it the other day. Before I got saved, I didn't really see church a whole lot. I didn't really see Jesus' name anywhere. I didn't see fish stickers on people's cars. I didn't see what would Jesus do wristbands on people's wrists. But now that I'm a Christian, I see it all the time. I see every single fish sticker. Oh, I must be a Christian. I see banners and billboards, and I see people walking down. I overhear Christian music playing. Now that I'm a Christian, I see it all the time. But before I got saved, I don't remember ever really seeing it at all. And I don't think it's because it wasn't around. I don't think it's because it didn't exist. I'm pretty sure bumper stickers and billboards didn't just come into being in the last 3 or 4 years. I'm pretty sure that my eyes just couldn't see it. Could it be that perhaps my eyes were blinded and veiled to the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ? And you see, sometimes when I look at the lost, I've got frustrated when I was in school. Like, why don't they see? Why don't they understand? Why won't they get saved? I'm preaching the gospel at them. I'm telling them about Jesus. I'm going through the Bible. We're doing all this stuff. I'm praying for them. But they just seem to just be, the message just seems to be hitting a brick wall. But could it be that I'm just trying so hard to show a blind person something they can't see? But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. So I think the reality of this world is that the lost people are blind to the things of God. They just can't see. You know, there are people living in blatant rebellion of God. There are people that know. There are people that make it a point of living against the Christian life and the Christian faith. But there's a lot of people, I just think, quite frankly, they just can't see. They're just blind, and they all they need is just for someone to lift the veil. we've just got to be people that can lift the veil off blind people's eyes that they might see the light of Christ. My first point, the eyes of the world are blind. Everyone say, let's lift the veil.
Let's lift the veil.
Just going to take a drink break. What time did I start, Dan? No idea. All right, thanks, guys. It's been good. Heavier than it looks. I feel like I've got so much room up here. You know, at my church, I've got the keyboard stands about there. I've got a duck mic stands when I get up to preach, so it's kind of nice and free up here. It's really good. I just got a new house too. Me and Katie got married a month ago, and we didn't have a house. Yeah, give it up for Katie, my wife. Some of you might remember last time I came to preach up here, her phone was ringing on the front row and distracted everyone. But she didn't bring it tonight, but we've been married for a month and just loving life. And this has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but just want to say it because I'm excited about it. But we got back. Actually, it's a good testimony of God's faithfulness. We got back from our honeymoon, which was awesome. And we didn't have a house to live in. We were supposed to be house-sitting. This guy said, yeah, you can have my house for a month when we get back. And we're like, sweet, that'll save us a bit of rent and we can put away a bond over that time and then find a place to live because we can't afford to buy a house off our income at the moment, but we will. But anyway, so we didn't have a place, but that fell through a couple of weeks before our wedding. And so we're like, oh no, what's going to happen? And so we went away on our honeymoon just sort of hoping something turned up. And we got back and Katie's dad was gracious enough to let us stay in his shack down at Clifton Beach, which I thought was going to be amazing and we wouldn't worry about looking for a house. We'll just stay there maybe forever because it's awesome. But as soon as we got back, I hate this so much. I want my own house so bad. But being immature in the things of the world and the wise things that all you people that own houses know, I had no idea how to go about looking for a house. I got no idea about how to find a rental property. I just had no clue and I was kind of a little bit afraid and scared and I want to provide for my wife. So we got together like a good Christian couple and we prayed in the morning on a Tuesday and we're like, God, we just need you to help us find a house because I've got no idea. Thank you, amen. Simple as that. And lunchtime Tuesday, Katie rings me. Oh, I found this nice little house. Oh, cool. Sounds good. Went into Apple Shop in town and went on their internet and looked at it. It was good. And by Thursday, we've got this house on the beach at Richardson's Road. It's 5 minutes from church. We've got a deck. Actually, our house is behind the tree line. So through the trees, you can see the beach. And then we've got a deck just past the tree line on the actual beach itself. And we're not paying a whole lot for it. How good is God? And so my point actually is that our house is probably about as big as this whole stage. That's about the only downfall about this house. It's really nice. It's just really small, but I love having a lot of room. So I'll move on with preaching, okay? Actually, I feel good about that. I might go home now. My second point, you see, point one, the eyes of the world are blind to the things of God. My second point, looking at God through the eyes of the lost, is this. Our God is invisible. Our God is invisible. Colossians 1:5 says, Jesus Christ was the visible image of the invisible God. And Jesus was visible when he was alive, but that was for 33 years, 2,000 years ago. He was the visible image of an invisible God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was created by the commands of God, and all that we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. Paul said in Corinthians when he was talking about keeping his focus and keeping his eyes on God, he said, we do not look at troubles we can see, rather we fix our eyes on that which we cannot see. You see, I believe in a God and I see the evidence of God all over the place. It's like the wind, you can't see it, but you see the evidence that it's there. And as a Christian, I see the evidence of God all around me. I see it in people, I see it on bumper stickers, I see it. I just see it all the time. But step into the eyes of the lost who don't know Christ, whose eyes are even blind. If our gospel is veiled, it's only veiled to those who are perishing. And yet God is actually invisible. We can't actually see him. So when you step into the shoes of the lost with that perspective that their eyes are blind and God's invisible, the task of sharing the gospel with a lost person all of a sudden seems quite ridiculous and very, very hard to do. Would you agree? the eyes of the world are blind and our God is invisible. Let me give you an illustration of that very point. You see, this is the task that we're faced with. Imagine a man standing in a pitch black room. It's not like a real life example, because if this guy's been in this room for 30 years, then I feel sorry for that guy, but just go with me. Imagine a man staying in a pitch black dark room, complete darkness, and this man's never been outside this room in his whole life. We'll say he's 32, just for the sake of the story. Stillness and darkness is all this guy's ever known. Just living in a box, maybe as big as my house, about as big as this stage, complete darkness for his whole life. And then I sneak through a wall so no light came in and start to explain to this guy about the wind. And so I start trying to explain to him what the wind is and how it works and how it moves and what it looks like and what the kind of evidence of the wind is. And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job. I feel like to this guy who's been stuck in this room for his whole life, I feel like I'm kind of saying, well, when it blows, you can't see it, but you can feel it in your face and the trees kind of sway. And sometimes when it's really bad, roofs come off houses, you know, sometimes it's powerful. And I feel like I'm doing a good job, but this guy's kind of just getting frustrated at me because he's got no idea what I'm talking about. Because this guy has spent his whole life in a box this by this, in complete darkness, in complete stillness, and I'm trying to explain to him something which is invisible that he's never seen or experienced. So I walk away, perhaps I'm going, I felt like I did a good job of explaining what the wind is like to this blind man who's never seen. But the guy himself, because he was polite, didn't say anything, but really he's going, that guy was mental and I don't understand anything that he just said to me. And so I walk away feeling okay, like I've done my job, but the guy is just frustrated, confused, and just as lost as he was before. And sometimes we can do that. We can say and tell and instruct and feel like we've done a great job in bringing enlightenment to someone. And perhaps that, and I'm not saying for a second that this is the way and this is the truth. I know that you can go to someone who's never heard about Jesus and tell them about Jesus directly and they can have an encounter with God just like that. I'm saying perhaps this is more for a lifestyle of reflecting the image of God to break through that veil. But perhaps instead of going into that room and trying to tell this guy about the wind that he's never seen, maybe that is not the best approach for me to use. Perhaps this would be a better way to go about trying to explain to this guy. Maybe say I go back to that guy and I open the door and I take him by the hand and I lead him out of that dark room. And then I chuck him in my car and we drive down to a beach and I stand him on a sand dune and allow him to feel the wind on his face and he can feel the sand brushing against his legs and he can see the reeds moving and then I can explain to him what the wind is and how it works and you can see it there and you can feel it on your face and all of a sudden this guy receives enlightenment to something that is invisible, something that he's never seen before, and all it took for me to do was to grab him by the hand and lead him out of darkness. You see, the world doesn't just need to be told about Jesus, the world needs to be shown. We can't just try and bombard people with a message and with a word. We need to grab them by the hand and lead them out of a blind place. Lead them out, lift the veil, and then reveal to them when they're in the light a message that they can understand. We can't just tell the world, we need to show them. When Jesus called his disciples, when he called Andrew and Simon, he's like, hey boys, follow me. He didn't say, hey, guys, come with me and I'll tell you how to do this and I'll instruct you on how to do that. He just said, hey, come and follow me. Because following Jesus, they would have seen the greatest image, the greatest example of how to do life and how to do ministry and how to change. He just said, I'll take you, just follow me and then I'll show you along the way. And they followed him and they changed the world. The world can't just be told, it needs to be shown. Romans 1:15 says, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. While we need to show the world the gospel, and all this is about the reflection and the image that you represent with your life, what the world looks at you, what do they see? And we can go one side of the fence and be a soapbox preacher, and there's nothing wrong with that at the same time. I'm not saying anything against that at all. We can do that on one hand and just be hard and firm and direct with people. And then we can go right along to the other side and just be loving and caring and completely conform to their patterns. And we can lead them out of that room, but then we can just stay there with them, and we forget that the message is what saves. The gospel is still the power. People don't get saved by love. They get saved by the word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But 2 Corinthians 3 said, if our gospel, which is the power unto salvation, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. It's the word of God that saves, but it's our actions. It's the image that we portray and the reflection of the invisible that lifts the veil and allows blind eyes to see. The world can't see God, but what the world can see is you, and it can see me. Is this making sense? My third point tonight is we are the image of God on this earth. Genesis 1:26. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. See, no one is smarter than you, than God. There's never been a smarter person in the universe than the creator of the universe. Would you agree? No one knows this world, no one knows this life better than the God who created it. And he's a clever God. You see, God knows that he's invisible. God knows the world can't see him. So in his genius, he thought of the greatest way that the world can see Jesus is to make us look like him. God created man in his own image. We're not just randomly created people. We're created in the image of God. But what is the image of God that you will represent to other people? Because unsaved people, not yet saved people, they're created in the image of God as well, but the reflection that they present with their lives is so different to the reflection that we can. You see, we've got a spirit inside of us that we've got to reflect to other people. See, he created us in his image that the world would see him through us. And which is why at the start of this message I asked, you know, what do people see when they see you? When people look at you, when blind people, when confused people and lost people look at you, do they see someone who is like them? Or do they see someone who is the image of God? When you're at work, working away, I won't go there. I was just thinking about that guy on the news who was looking at stuff he shouldn't have been looking at on the computer, and the whole world saw it. Oops. Does anyone know if he got fired? Anyway, when you're at work, across the cubicle from that guy who's so lost, and he's at work looking at stuff that he shouldn't be looking at, when he looks at you, what does he see? Does he see someone who's living the same values, the same morals, the same thoughts as he does? Or does he look at someone like you and see the image of God? When you go to school and you're surrounded by people that don't know God and who all they care about really is partying and having a good time, when they look at you, do they see someone that looks just like them? Or do they see someone who is the image of God? Do they see something different? Do they see something powerful? Do they see something that causes them to stop and just have a bit of a think about what they're actually seeing? Christ was the exact image of God. You see, Christ was the perfection, the ideal model of us to follow. He lived for 33 years and he came to die on the cross for our sins. But for 33 years, that took him a day to die. But it took him 33 years to live, and he could have just died in one day, but he lived for 33 years to give us this example, to give us this image, to show us this representation of what God wants us to look like. So that when people would look at us, they would see not an image of the world, but they would see the image of God. They would see the image of Christ. And Joe said at the start, who do you want to be like? Who are you becoming like? Does your life embody Jesus Christ, or maybe does it look a little bit more like everybody else? Because for us to be effective, for us to lift the veil, for our message of hope and life to really go forwards, we've got to carry something that looks like Jesus. Does that make sense? You see, people aren't going to get saved by looking at a bumper sticker. I won't say they won't, because they might. But seldom is it going to be a "what would Jesus do" wristband that sees someone get saved. You know, as good as Jesus All About Life campaign was, a banner that says Jesus All About Life, that doesn't really relate to anyone that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe it might get some questions starting, but overall, I heard a statistic, and forgive me if it's wrong, but a pastor told me that one of the first Jesus All About Life campaigns, they got 3 phone calls. I don't know if that's right, but I know that I can reach a whole lot more people if I'm reflecting the image of Jesus Christ, not trying to just wave it around, but if I personally go and relate to someone, connect with someone, build a bridge with someone, extend a hand to someone, smile at someone, buy groceries for someone, help someone. That builds just such a great bridge to Jesus Christ. And they don't just see a bumper sticker, and they don't just see something material. They see something that is real, something that they can relate to, and something that looks a little bit like the image of God. You see, it's the message is always Jesus, and that's what saves. But maybe lifting the veil is just a conversation about the footy. Maybe it's just a handshake over the back fence. Maybe it's just helping the old lady across the road. Maybe it's the simplest of things that really can lift the veil that the world might see Jesus Christ. Jacob, do you want to join me on the stage, bro? I'm nearly done. I've just got one point and one story. Just once again, I'm not saying this is the gospel. I'm not saying this is the only way, but it's what God really put on my heart, that for us not just to try and tell the church and to try and tell the message, but to be the message, to embody the message, to act and live out the message of the gospel. My fourth point tonight is the saving reflection. This is perhaps my favorite scripture in the Bible, in the world. I love it. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression through us." What an awesome verse. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, if you love your neighbor, if you love your workmate, if you love your schoolmate, if you love your Christian brother, if you love your pastor, if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression through us. When we love, His image is seen so loud. His image is seen so clearly when we love. When we put aside maybe how we're feeling, when we put aside circumstances and just love, just love, just love, just love. To an invisible world that can't see God, to eyes that are veiled, but they see me and you. And if we love each other, if we love them, God lives in us and He's seen through us in the fullest expression. If we would just love the world that we live in, and not just when we feel like it, not just after a great church service, not just after a good week, not just when we got a pay rise, not just when we're feeling great with our wife, with our fiance, with our girlfriend, boyfriend, not just after life's going good. All the time, when things hurt, when life sucks, when you lose your job, we've just still got to find a way to love. Easier said than done, I totally know, but that's how the world sees Jesus, when we love it. Let me just give you one final story, and then I just want to pray. Somewhere in the world, a mother's lost her son in a tragic car accident. It's no one's fault, really. The kid wasn't speeding, he wasn't drunk, no one else was involved, but just lost control, hit a tree, dead. And somewhere in the world, a mother's grieving. A mother's hurting, a mother's in pain. Questioning life, why did this happen? Why is my son not with me right now? Somewhere in the world, a mother's hurting. Somewhere in the world, a mother needs Jesus Christ. So I hear about this woman. I hear that her son's lost. I know that she must be hurting. I've got no idea of the pain that she's experiencing, but I know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and I know that's what she needs. But I'm not going to go down to her house, knock on the door, and you go, you know what, Jesus loves you so much. Because this woman's so hurting. Her eyes are veiled. Her heart's hard. God's invisible. She doesn't care that Jesus loves her. She's just lost her son. She wants to know why. So instead, I'll go down there and say, I've heard about your loss. I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do for you? Can I just embrace you? Can I just extend love towards you? Can I just open my heart to you? And as I do that, as I love another, God lives in me. Jesus is what she needs. Hope is what she needs. Life is what she needs. But as I love another, God lives in me, and his love is brought to full expression through me. And not because I went down there with a Bible and said, this is what you need in a time of hurt, but because I loved someone else. Perhaps maybe just for the first time, this woman maybe sees a saving reflection. Maybe she sees a doorway maybe to the answers. Maybe she sees a doorway to the truth. Maybe she feels something just through an embrace, not through a word, but just through an action. And this lady might see Jesus Christ maybe just through the simplest action of my love towards her. Why don't you just close your eyes? This world needs Jesus Christ, but more, it needs us to be Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to pray for anyone that just wants to, I don't know. I don't even know really who I'm praying for or what I'm praying about, but you want to make a difference for Jesus, but you want to walk in his image. If you want to represent what he is, I just want to pray for you. But maybe first you've been living this life and the image that you portray to the world is nothing like the image of God. Maybe you've been struggling a little bit and hurting a little bit, and you find it difficult to represent the image of God. When people look at you, they don't really see Jesus. Maybe I just want to pray for you tonight, just to fall in love again with Jesus. Just to refresh that love that he has for you. Maybe if that's you tonight, I just want you to slip your hand in the air. I just want to pray for you with everyone's, no one's watching. Thank you. Lord, I just want to pray for my brother. Just thank you for the love that you have for him. I want to thank you for the grace you have for him, for the purpose and destiny you have for him. And there's nothing in the world you love more than this man. And I just pray, Lord, that just in a simple moment like this, that he might be filled with your love, that he might be filled with your grace, that he might be filled with your power, Lord, to live for you, God, to show your image, to shine your light to this world. And I pray right now you will just comfort his heart. And I pray that he'll walk out of this building tonight just changed from the inside out. No bang and crash and flash and wish, God, but just a simple little prayer, God. Thank you for him in Jesus' name. And if you want to be the image of God to this world, if you want to represent him, if you want to show this world Jesus Christ, I want you just to stand to your feet right now. And we're going to worship. And we're going to put our eyes on him. We're going to focus on him. And then as we worship and as we focus, as we forget about everything that's happening in our life, as we allow his love to cleanse us and wash us and just change our perspective, just to be his hands and be his feet, I believe we're all just going to walk out of this place just with a new heart and a new passion for the lost and for Jesus. Why don't you just lead us, team? Thanks. See you next year.
You stood in my place. You conquered the grave. And I stood accused, Lord. But the price that you paid washed my sins clean. Your blood made a way. So how could I not live for you, Jesus? All I want to do, all I want to do is live for you. So I lay it all at your feet. In worship, I fall to my knees. All I can do is cry, sing praises. It's you I seek through all. Now joy overwhelms me. My praises start. How could I not? How could I not live for you, Jesus? All I want to do is live for you. To my knees, all I can do is cry, sing your praises. It's you I seek through all. It's you I seek through all.
Wow, what an awesome message. I don't know how anybody could not have got something out of that message. And maybe some of you feel like you need to make a response or get more prayer or get some prayer. So, you know, the front's open. It's very nice and spacious. Come out and, you know, Jono will pray for you and the team will pray for you. Otherwise, we're just going to sing for a bit longer and just remain in the presence of God. And would love for you to join us for a cup of coffee and tea at the end. When you're ready, and why don't you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here for Celebration Sunday next Sunday morning. Thanks, guys.
So lay it all.
So I lay it all at your feet. In worship, I fall to my knees. All I can do is cry out and sing your praises. It's you I seek through all.
You say the same.
You say the same. Never change. You remain the same always, my Lord. Forever you say the same.
Yeah.
So I lay it all at your feet in worship. I fall to my knees. All I can do is cry out, sing your praises. You are sick, so I lay it all at your feet in worship. I fall to my knees. All I can do is cry out, sing praises. You are sick through all. You are sick. You are sick through everything. You are sick through all. Sing your praises. You are sick through all.
Cool. It's been awesome to have you in church tonight. Why don't you go and enjoy a cup of tea or coffee and have an awesome week. God bless.